Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Now, please take your seat for a few minutes. We have a long way to go. Finally, the day is set. So we are going to be looking at our series, The Unseen Realm, The Believer, and Spiritual Warfare, Part 1. Now, let's read from... My goal in this first service is to try to establish as much as possible the reality of the spirit realm. So, first of all, I want us to read from the Word of God. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, I want us to read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. If you have the scripture out there, just... It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? When Jesus was at that well where he met with that woman, Jesus said to her, God is spirit. God is spirit. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that should repent. If he has said it, he will do it. Hallelujah. I said if he has said it, he will do it. God is not afraid of what he said. Hallelujah. God is strong enough to speak a word and bring it to pass. Yes, 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 yes. God is strong enough to speak a word and bring it to pass. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't run away from battle. He's the Lord of hosts. He's a man of war. Hallelujah. He is the man of war. God is not afraid of battle. He fights on his seat. He doesn't go out. He fights on his seat. He sends his word and he brings deliverance. He restores people. He saves from destruction. Hallelujah. So we need to get a clear view of what the spirit realm looks like, because that is the only way we'll be able to interact intelligently. Now, many of the things that the enemy has done is to try to shut us down from understanding the reality of that realm. And because we are basically spirits, or we are a tripartite being, or let me say we are a being that operates on three dimensions. I don't like the word tripartite, because it creates the impression you are three. No, you are one. But you can operate on three different dimensions. You can operate in spirit, you can operate in the soul, and you can operate in your body. Alright, so the scripture says to us that our Father, our God, is the Father of spirits. He's the Father of spirits. What that means is that every true spirit originates and is sourced from God. There is no spirit that exists without God's permission. God may not like them, but they exist by his permission. Alright? Yeah, you need to listen to me. Don't be distracted. Don't move around. Every spirit that exists, exists by the permission of God. Now, this particular series that I'm sharing with us has a direct correlation with the court of heaven. The court of heaven, sometimes when we make some of these statements, you listen to some people, they try to give you the impression or create a theology around the fact that certain things that are in the scriptures are not literal. That they are, you have to understand the meaning, that they are not literal as it were. But that's not what God is saying. There's an authentic court or a senate that meets in heaven. And that senate consists of not just good spirits. It's a council that allows both good and evil spirits to meet together in one place. Are you with me? Are you still here? I need you to preach together with me. Are you here? Now, I said there is a council in heaven. I call it the heavenly council that meets in heaven. And this council is made up of God. It's made up of Jesus. It's made up of gods, little gods, small g. And I'm going to show you in the scripture how that, you know, comes to be. But your own influence in the Old Testament, there was no provision for man to be a member of that court. There was no. That's why I want to talk about this issue of the spirit realm first. But we'll get into the second service. I'm going to go straight into this particular point I'm making now. So I need you to understand that most times when, for instance, we say to somebody, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, what happens is that in the realm of the spirit, there is a case that has been, there's a certificate that says this person is sick. So when the pastor prays for you and says, in the name of Jesus, be healed, what happens is that the blood of Jesus flows, wipes out that record, produces another certificate that says you are healed. So anything that happens to you in the physical world has first happened to you in the spirit world. And that's why you need to understand that the spirit realm exists as an entire reality. It is not a figment of the imagination. It exists, like as we are here right now, there is an alternate dimension that exists above us, and it is in the spirit realm. In that spirit realm, there is a church named Harvest World Assembly that exists in the spirit realm as a reality. But it exists in the perfection of God's will. It doesn't exist in the spirit realm with blemish. It doesn't exist in the spirit realm with the kind of challenges we may be having right now. It exists in the spirit realm, just like we have Nigeria as a nation. There is an alternate reality where Nigeria exists in the spirit realm as a nation, and Nigeria in the spirit realm also as a ruler. Are you here now? Nigeria as a nation exists in the spirit realm, and that's why you have the concept of the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece. These are ruling princes that rule and administer government over every nation, over every family, but they are princes, which means, by the time I get into the second side, if I get there, I will explain to you why some of you can be having some problems in your families or in your nation. You will now realize that you have been praying the wrong prayers. So the realm of spirit is something we need to be interested in. God is spirit, and he is the father of spirit. You know, I was quoting John to you, where Jesus said to that woman, God is spirit, and all that worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality, in truth. So you have to understand that when, for instance, we come to church and we say we are worshiping God, it is not just the words that we speak. The worship really starts when we begin to worship by faith and when it comes out of your belly. The true worship starts when it begins to come out of your heart. It doesn't come, you are not really worshiping God when you are just singing a song. You are worshiping God when your spirit becomes involved and you're able to worship and respond to God by faith. This is, and please, I need you to listen to me and write down as much as you can, because I'm going to be throwing out a lot of things that you may think you are familiar with, but they have serious implications. So you are going to worship God from your spirit. And that's why many times you pray, and sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm praying, but my prayer is very dry, I'm not flowing. After like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you notice that you are able to pray without so much effort. The Spirit of God is working with you, because that was when the real prayer started. So to operate in the spirit realm, the realm that is, you know, above us or amongst us that we cannot see, then we need to be spiritual to be able to get into the spirit realm and to operate there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, let's read that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Popular scripture. It says, now concerning spiritual. Now look at your screen. If you have, it said, can you see the word gifts in bracket? Okay. Can you see the word gifts in bracket? What does that mean? Talk to me. That word gift was not originally in the translation. It was added to give that verse a meaning. Please stay with me. We have so many translations of the old, but the oldest of the translations is what we call the Dead Sea Scroll. Dead. DEADSEA. Dead Sea Scroll. Those are the oldest manuscripts of the scriptures. And when you read this scripture in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Hebrew, you will not find gift there. But, you know, Paul was teaching and he began to teach us about spiritual abilities. The gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of... Is this too high for you? Kenny, is it too high? I should bring it down. Should I bring it down or just I should take it higher? Let's vote. Should I take it up or bring it down? Somebody said bring it down. All right. So, can I go on? All right. So, the word gives, in my own Bible, if you have my kind of Bible or my concordance, you will see what you will read there is, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Concerning what? Spiritual matters. I don't want you to be ignorant. You may be in church and not know how spiritual things work. Come on, are you here now? Are we flowing now? I said concerning spirituals, concerning how the spirit realm runs, concerning how things can be manipulated in the spirit realm, concerning spiritual giftings and abilities, it is possible to be in church and be ignorant. So Paul wanted to help us here. Give me the next verse. He said, for you know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols. The moment Paul spoke about the spiritual, the next thing he started addressing was idols. Are you here? Come on, are you still here? Which means that the idols are responsible for the level of ignorance that many believers are having. They are responsible. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they will not be able to behold the glorious light of Jesus. That every time you hear a truth of God's word and you are not able to capture it, it's because the God of this world has cast a veil over your eyes. Have anyone ever preached to you and you say, I know what he's saying is true, but let me just stay with the one I know. Hey, the God of this world has blinded you. Now, it is not a problem for you as an unbeliever if you are not born again to be blinded. That is actually your literal state. Now, when a person is born into this world, his spirit is born dead. Listen, when a person is born into this world, his spirit comes into the world dead, disconnected from God. But your soul is alive and immortal. Now, when you look at Adam, who was the original, the first man, Femi come, Joshua come, and Michael. I want to give you a little explanation of the kind of person Adam. Please, let's stand before them. Now, this is Spirit Adam. Alright? So, from today, you are Spirit Adam. I used to attend one meeting some time ago. A long time ago, we call ourselves Spirit. Say, Spirit Tunde, shake our hands. Spirit Cornelius, shake our hands. Because we had the revelation that we are spirits. You know, so this is soul Adam, and this is body Adam. This is the person you see on the road and you want to marry. This one, this is the problem I have with you people. You know that this guy is handsome, but you never tell him. You see, I need to be protecting you now. Hallelujah. So this is the man everybody loves. This one is the prayer warrior. This is the one that hears God. Hallelujah. Spirit Femi, you are the one that hears God. Amen. This man will go with any of them. So if Spirit Adam, if body Adam wakes up this morning, and instead of singing, out of my belly shall flow, instead of singing that, then maybe his neighbor was singing, let me look for one of those songs. Give me one song that is trending now. If you are a carnal person, give me a song that is trending. Now, I can't remember anyone, but let's assume there's a song somewhere. I mean, just, you know the song that is coming to your mind. That song. Now, that song, he wakes up, his neighbor is playing that song on his CD, on his player, on over the radio. So he hears it, and he's like, dun, 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 dun. And he's doing his hand like this, and doing his hand like this. So when he's doing that, if he doesn't stop that activity immediately or change the channel, what happens is that because his soul has a particular faculty known as emotion, the emotion will become triggered. You may notice that all through the day, you'll be singing that song. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just add one line. But whenever you hear a Christian song, you will struggle. You cannot even remember the last verse I just read now. But that, doing your hand like this on Instagram, you've seen it, it's in your head. The only reason why you are not dancing it here is because I didn't allow you. Okay. So this is body Adam, soul Adam, Spirit Adam. Now, before Adam fell from grace, this guy in the middle was the software that was installed to bridge the spirit and the body. Which means that as long as this guy was beholding God, the Bible says Adam became a living soul. The moment, as long as this guy had life in himself, Adam could move from, how do I put it? Adam could be like, what's that animal that can live on both water and land? Amphibians. So this guy could go into the spirit realm, see God, stay in the garden, be a keeper of the garden. He was not restricted in any way. Just by wanting, just the way I could say, I want to lift my hand and I do this. It's the same way by wishing to. Adam could see God in the evening. When God comes into the garden in the evening to play with them, to have fellowship, Adam could see God. He could see God and he didn't die from seeing God. He saw God. He was crafted because he had the same software that was unique to God. So he was able to see God without dying. It was the same DNA. Are you with me now? So this guy is the critical factor in how spiritual you can become. Not this man. Are you with me? Not the spirit Adam. The spirit Adam by default wants to know God. But the determining factor is not even this man. It's who this guy follows. Are you with me now? I'm trying to describe to you why Satan is so big on entertainment, is so big on pleasure, is so big on so many things that could keep this focus away, this guy from focusing on the Lord. And you just notice that even though you love God, you cannot help but be a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is that person that loves God but follows the way of the world. That's where a carnal Christian is. And please, you may want to write it down. It's not a big language. A carnal Christian is a Christian that loves God, is born again, but he tilts towards the things of the world more than he tilts towards God. So if a carnal Christian comes to church, he will sing with us, he will dance with us, he will pray. When he goes to the office and somebody is playing tumbae, 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 he will be the first to do his hand like this because he's a carnal Christian. But that decision was empowered by this man here. This guy here is just a regular guy who loves to do bad things. But to do it, he must find an emotional attachment for that thing. So he looks for this guy. So if the spirit is now saying to the soul, arise all my soul, praise the Lord, all that is within me, bless his holy name. If he is the first guy to talk to the soul will wake up that morning and follow the spirit. If you always meditate on the word of God by renewing of the mind, because you will notice that when Paul was teaching us in Romans chapter 12, he said we should not be transformed, that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed according to by the renewing of the mind. You will notice he didn't say by the renewing of the emotions. He didn't say that. He didn't say by the renewing of the will. He said by the renewing of the mind, because your mind is the faculty in your soul, that is the knowledge, the bank knowledge. Everything you know, everything you perceive about anybody or about yourself is in the mind. So anytime you are thinking something, you will develop emotions for that thing. Even if you don't like a guy, but he keeps coming to you every day and he's always trying to be nice. After I say, like, okay, let me give him a shot. Because that is who this guy is. He puts together data, strings them together, and makes an intelligent decision. So this guy in the middle is not necessarily a bad person. He just follows who is talking more. Whose voice is louder, the body or the spirit? This guy will now amplify that reality and you have to find yourself going. So before Adam fell, these three people worked together. Adam was not a slave of his soul. Have you found yourself wanting to, feeling like doing something? Going to visit a brother or a sister, but you knew you should not go, but you still saw yourself wearing your slippers and going there. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you in that WhatsApp group? All right. You knew that you should not go. You knew that you should not do this thing, this particular thing. But you still said, I'm bored. You found yourself going into the bus and telling the guy, I'm on my way. Are you at home? Are you still here? This is the guy that is making it so. Because the moment you feel like doing something, your soul will amplify that desire by finding something in you that wants to do it. Even though you say, I didn't want to do it, it forced me. But something here didn't say no. So the reality of the spirit realm is that by the time, before Adam sinned, the spirit was in control of the soul and the body. But when man fell, this guy died. So everybody that was born into this world was born dead spiritually. To be dead spiritually means that you are disconnected from the life of God. The life of God is what God breathed into man and made him become a living soul. So when he died, the spirit, when he sinned, he died, but the soul was now an independent force, making decisions on his own. Being ruled by how he feels, what he thinks, what he wants, how he perceives. So you may know that, I'm not supposed to get married to this guy because he's a wife beater. He has been beating me. But for some reason, you still decide to go because you think you deserve to be beaten. For some reason, you are at the altar and you still tell yourself, he will change, he will change, he will change. But for 3 years, he never changed. He only increased the number of strokes he was giving you. But you convince yourself that he will change. That lie is here in the soul. This guy is an independent guy. This guy that God wants to deal with is dead. So you need to understand how serious the sin of Adam was. The moment Adam sinned against God, he lost the ability to communicate with God. He lost ability to communicate effectively in the spirit realm. Thank you, guys. All right. So a picture is more than 1,000 words. So I needed to explain that to you so that every time you are saying you are here, feeling those things in your soul, pulling you towards Satan or towards sin, you need to understand where exactly that thing is coming from. It is in your soul. Your soul will amplify any information you feed it. All right. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, I want to show you another scripture that validates spiritual reality. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. And please pay attention. It says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." So, Paul is saying that it is possible to gaze upon things that are invisible. Spiritual things. Are you with me? Paul is saying it is possible. Just because you are not experiencing it does not mean it is not a reality. Are you with me? Are you still here? So Paul said, "But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, what are they? They are temporal. They will fade away. The things which can be seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. They are forever." This is how you can go into the realm of the spirit and receive the verdict of heaven concerning your husband, concerning your wife, and you know there's nothing the devil can do about your marriage. That's how you know. My goal in this series is that by the time we are done, you should be furnished with the right tools to go into the place of spiritual warfare and effectively bring your family out. And let me tell you, you may be an American, you may be a white man, you may be very handsome, you may be very beautiful. It will not, just the way this brother is very handsome, but his soul was telling him to go and fornicate. The work of Satan in the life of any man or in his family has no regard for how handsome you are. You may be handsome or beautiful, but your life will be scattered. And you may even be coming to church and you are born again. So it is not enough to say you're born again. You must be furnished with the right tool so that you know how to enter the place of spiritual warfare. There are people going about and saying, "We don't need spiritual warfare." They have not opened your file. Have you ever seen anybody ask you, "Oh, you look so wonderful, you look so gifted, you look so brilliant, you have the certificate, but what your life doesn't measure up to what we think you are. You have a master's, you are very skilled in singing, you are a musician, you are an artist, you are a computer whiskey. But when we look at you generally, it doesn't measure up." So the devil doesn't look at how fine you are or how pretty, or maybe you won Miss Unilag while you are in school, or Miss Covenant or something. The devil doesn't look at all those things. As far as the devil is concerned, your ignorance is his own pleasure. Your ignorance is what? It's for the devil's pleasure. It will continue to reign until illumination, until light is revealed. And that's why I need you to listen to what I'm saying. The scripture says that the things which are seen, which cannot be seen, are eternal. Which means if there is anything we should be doing, it is to behold the things which cannot be seen. I spoke to somebody some time ago, and the person was saying, Mio, I believe I have the Spirit of God, though. Nobody can give me any prophecy that I don't want to hear. So I asked the person, when last did you hear God? Have you heard God on a very terrible matter before? I said, have you heard God? Has God ever... People talk about the voice of God as if it is the voice of Steve Harvey. Let me steal my message. It's not Steve Harvey. It's not the voice of people is the voice of God. No. People have suffered because they thought the voice of man is the voice of God. Your mom could tell you, marry him. Where does he work? Say Shell. Oh, okay. How long has he been there? Say 7 years. Wow. Okay. But do you like him? Say, okay, let's go ahead. The voice of man is not the voice. As long as you continue to give yourself to reason and rationality, and that which appeals to the human eyes, you will not be able to behold the things that are unseen. As I can see, people that are very gifted, they will go for 10 years, they will go and come back, nothing to show for it, because you are looking at the things that are seen. God says, if you want to have eternal impact, look at the things which other eyes cannot see. That's what he's saying. So the question you should be asking is, how can I get to that point where I'm able to see the things that are invincible to other people and make my decision based on what the Holy Spirit is showing me? That is the day you will know you cannot do everything you see on Instagram. Some people think because our lives are very boring and dull, that's why we are shouting that people should not be sleeping on Instagram. Sleep on Instagram now. Are you not seeing the result? The day David will face Goliath, he will do it alone. Don't let the devil catch you unawares. Don't let the devil catch you unawares. You have to be spiritual. He said, concerning spirituals, don't be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12. Concerning spirituals, don't be ignorant. Because you can be a child of God and be ignorant. And as long as you are ignorant, Satan will put a blindfold over your eyes. You will always be pursuing, but never attaining. Come on, say God forbid. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Look at the scriptures. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Spiritual things with what? Spiritual. When the Lord says something to you, or the Lord reveals something to you in a dream, because your dreams, your dream life is one of the gateways into the spirit. Are you with me? Your dream world is a reality in the spirit realm that the devil can assess, God can assess. But the Bible says when God speaks to you and reveals certain things to you, you don't make the mistake of trying to compare spiritual things with carnal things. Let me give you an example. You have a dream. You come out of a dream. And in that dream, somebody gave you a pot. An earthen pot. The kind we use in our village where you can keep cold water. You know, water, a very small one. And there was something reddish, like a reddish tape around it. African people, are you here? Then he says, take, this is it. Take, this is it. Take. And he says it three times, and you wake up. Wow. Now, you remember the last movie you watched on African Magic? You remember and you knew there was a pot in that film. Everywhere you have seen a pot as a Nigerian with something red around it. Please, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Say we compare spiritual things with what? Not with popular opinion. Not with our cultural opinion. What you should have done was to go to God. Then God will say, but we are all 18 vessels, that the glory of Christ might be revealed in our weakness. Then you are using your African spirit has trained you so much for 25 years that when you see an earthen vessel, by default, They have given you winch. They have given you, they have taken your destinies in that pot. Now, I'm not saying that is not possible, but it is wrong for you to assume simply because you saw a pot and they had something red around you. Why didn't you think that red is the blood of Jesus? Are you here now? So you cannot, if you are someone that always judges spiritual things through what people around say or what we all know as popular belief systems, you will be making a lot of mistakes. You will be fasting for nothing. You will be doing vigils for nothing. But all because you are ignorant. The most terrible thing that can happen to you is to be ignorant of that which is spiritual. Yes. That's the most terrible thing. Not that you are born again, no. Because a believer that is a true child of God but is ignorant will live on earth as if he's in hell. A believer that is saved, washed by the blood of God, but is ignorant of what the word of God says, will be living his life as if he's in hellfire. Because he's not knowledgeable. And you got to understand this. I'm not preaching to you and I'm not spectating. I'm not trying to make a presentation. And this is not a lecture. This is the word of God. He said we must compare. He said which things we speak, not with the words of man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is that when you see that calabash, you begin to say, ah, it is my village people again. That calabash that we saw, that they brought to our house when I was 2 years old, I saw it again. That is man's wisdom. He said, but we look at things which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Come on, say the Holy Ghost is a teacher. So the Holy Spirit is a revelatory teacher. When you are seeing something, he has the responsibility to bring clarity to you. But if you are far from God in your mind, I didn't say in your spirit, if you are far from God in your mind, if the knowledge of God is not resident in your mind, you will be missing out on a lot of details. Even though you speak in tongues, you'll be oppressed. Come on, are you here? Are you still here? Do I take it higher or come lower? The vote is undecided. The Bible says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth by, and how does the Holy Ghost teach? By comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. If you give me this version in Amplified, I want to show you something. Amplified. Look at this. Everybody look at the screen. And we are setting these truths forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with what? Mandikabaya, Tuliza, with spiritual language. Are you still here? You are not seeing it yet. You are not seeing it yet. That when you are given a revelation, the first thing to do is to take that thing, bring it to the Lord. Ba itokuya laka meratuze benon tafisa lehadu redikaba malute zitobia dikala radufezia. You begin to compare and interchange and interlock and begin to turn around, comparing spiritual things with spiritual languages. Your spiritual eyes begin to gaze. Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So the light upon your spirit begins to navigate. Begin to navigate. And you are being guided by the Holy Spirit till you find meaning. You compare spiritual things with spiritual language. And he said it is for those who possess the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you still here? I'm telling you how to be spiritually proficient. This is how to perform, to behave in the spirit realm. Yes. Yes. So that tongues that you are speaking, it's not given for you to be blabbing. It's a weapon. It's a spiritual truth. It's just like you go to the forex market. Nobody knows naira. They know dollar. So you have to convert your naira to dollar to be able to trade. And in the realm of the spirit, your dollar is your tongues. Yes. Your words must be filled with the Spirit. Come on, say amen. Your words must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your words must be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you begin to navigate into the realm of the Spirit, you cannot go in like a carnal man. You say you have to compare spiritual things using spiritual languages. As you begin to pray in the Spirit, what you will now notice that the Holy Spirit will be ministering some thoughts into your mind. Those are the things, when you see them, you open your eyes. Start writing them down. Don't worry, don't think yet. Just be writing it down. You cannot be proficient if you are not a writer. Say you compare spiritual things. How many of you have ever found yourself in a place and you knew you've made a mistake somewhere, but you couldn't trace it? You couldn't trace it. You know that, I've missed my way. If you go back and read all the prophecies you received, you will find something. Yes. That's why the strategy of Satan that never fails is to get a believer to come out of the realm of the spirit into the realm of emotions. The moment he gets you there, there's nothing you do again that will be correct. Because everything you do will be rational. You'll be like, no, I can't stay in this house. No, I have to resign. I have to leave my job. I'm being embarrassed every day. I can't stay on this job anymore. Can you believe, Pastor, they even reduce my salary? Oh, reduce your salary. Okay, start your own company. Start. Let's see if you can even make that money in a month. That's your salary that people in the spirit realm, you cannot be entitled. In the spirit realm, you must come in covered and drenched in the blood of Jesus. You cannot come with any high sounding braggadocious attitude. The Bible says, even Michael. Hey, Michael, why? Say, even Michael, when he faced Lucifer and contended for the body of Moses, he could not dare bring a railing accusation against Lucifer. He only said, the Lord rebuke you. I know why I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I have gone beyond the third level. I'm in the seventh level. I've passed the level 666. I've passed the level 999. I operate at level 1,200. As a spirit man, I see God. You are going to be wounded. The realm of the spirit does not allow anybody without lordship over him to prosper. The realm of the spirit, we must know where you are standing. We must know who has claim over you. You cannot go there and begin to say, I will fast 74. Then God told us to move it to 80. And we moved it to 80 and we saw the realm of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see the things that others cannot see. Hallelujah. Satan will just tap his boy and say, the guy is talking now. Shoot one, only one arrow. Only one. One arrow of affliction. Bam. Come on, are you here? I said the spirit of realm does not allow you to move freely when there's no one with his hand claiming you. Because they will ask you, by whose authority? By whose authority are you here? You have the guts to cast out a devil? By whose authority? We didn't say whether you can do it or not. Who gave you permission to lose our meat? Our salami meat. You lose our salami meat. What's your name? Who is your father? They say, I know why I'm in Christ. Yeah, okay. Look up, look down. Today is your last day on earth. Come on, say my eyes are open. Please, I'm saying some things and they are very critical because we are going to be navigating in very deep waters. And I just said something and I'm going to repeat it. The spirit realm does not make provision for anybody to be a loafer, to be going up and down when no man has claim over you. Jesus spoke concerning Boanerges, the sons of thunder. When they went to preach in a particular place and Jesus was pushed and was rejected, and the brother said, James and John, they said, Master, step back in Malikabaina. Oh, rather, let me call thunder, fire to come and consume them. Jesus said, I know you just received the Holy Spirit with power, but this is not the time for that one. He said, you don't know the kind of spirit you are carrying. The same spirit in you that can destroy can give life. You have not given life, yet you want to take. Say, step back. You are not ready. As long as the thing they do you, moving you like Songo, moving you like Obatala, to going to the shrine, moving you as if you cannot control this. Say, Pastor, I cannot control. You can control. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Be silent. You don't have to prophesy. Be silent. He said, let two or three prophets and let the others judge. You cannot be the only one. Be silent. The spirit, one of the evidence that it is God is that he will give you permission to subject the spirit. So the spirit of God cannot be moving like Songo or like Abijawara. There's one man called Abijah. Every time he's walking, he'll be doing like this. It's the demons in him that are moving. Doing like this. Then he will take three steps. That's how he walks. He doesn't go straight. He will be coming and going. And when you see him, you have to clear out of it because the spirits that are with him are more than your own. That's why when we come to Jesus, the real issue at salvation is not really about the forgiveness of sins. It's about lordship. And many Christians are without lordship over their lives. So we call them bastard sons. Are you still here? The Bible says, if the Lord rebuke you, then you are sons. If you are doing something bad and the Lord does not rebuke you, it means you are a bastard. It's in the Bible. A bastard son is a child of illegitimate birth. It's a child that has no character consistent with the behavior of the family. Are you still here? Are you still here? Everywhere is quiet now. I hope we don't have them here. Are you still here? Come on, say I'm not a bastard. Now, it's not a confession. It's a life. Which means the moment you tell yourself that you are a child of God, what you are saying is that I am under the government of heaven. I'm under the government because the spiritual realm is divided into two. There's a side that is called light. There's a side that is called darkness. The scripture said, for God has redeemed us from the kingdom of what? Darkness. Into what? The kingdom of his dear son. So you are redeemed from one kingdom into another kingdom. So it is not democracy. It is monarchy. Ha! It is monarchy. We don't vote here. We don't vote here. I'm going to tell you something about the elections of Nigeria in second service next year. So stay tuned. Are you still here? So the spirit realm is real. Everything that happens there must either be manipulated or compelled. The moment it is done, it will happen here. Nobody can stop it. Come on, are you with me? It is important for you to learn what I am saying so that you can begin your journey of spiritual development, so that when you are faced with a challenge, you can do first aid before you call pastor. One woman said, let us pray. Say, pastor, I want us to be praying. Called my friend, Pastor Desmond. It's an elderly woman. So when they are praying, she will sit down on the cushion. That big, you know, the way our parents cushion, those big ones in the parlor. She sat there, and my friend raised a song. Awesome God, awesome God. Pastor Desmond, he wasn't a pastor there. He hadn't started this church. So he was the one giving me the gist. Then he took the second song. The woman just sat down. Why? Her big glasses. Spectacles. Amen, amen. The woman dozed off. So Pastor Desmond was now saying, let's begin to pray now. Let's begin to thank God. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Then Pastor Desmond looked at the woman like, Mama, ain't soon. This woman is sleeping. She said, he tapped. Mama, let's be praying. Let's be praying. My son, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. Pastor Desmond prayed. He said, we are going to pray, do a vigil. Later, Pastor Desmond just thought about it. This woman will kill me. Number one, she's sleeping. I'm not a prayer contractor. So he said, Mama, God said he has answered us. I'm going no. The next day, the woman sent to her. He said, I'm not around. Because, you see, a lazy man cannot prosper. A lazy man cannot prosper in the spirit realm. Even if you want to serve Satan, you must be diligent. Yes. 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 You must be diligent. Satan likes people that are hardworking. Satan likes people that are hardworking. Some of them, you see them on social media, take off almost all their clothes and they are standing in front of the camera. Satan likes those kind of people. They are bold. They are bold like lions. He likes them. That is how to gain rank in the spirit realm. Boldness. Some of you cannot do what they are doing, but you like it, and the moment you like it with that heart emoji or whatever, you are icon. You have approved it. You are part of their scene. Forget that the person is a popular person. If you go back and look for all those things and be unliking them after service. I'm not joking. Some of you feel sad that you are Christians. You prefer to have been in the world and maybe around 40 when you now marry, you now start going to church with your husband. Listen. Listen. They have put your destiny inside a pot. The pot is here now. So you have an opportunity to come and claim it as you are hearing this message. I'm telling you,
Yesterday, I asked myself, why did you give your life to Christ early? I will go to place. People just say, this guy.
Well, okay, scrap that.
But, you know, I went to visit my friend. Then I saw his younger son, like, I like your eyes. I didn't know anything was. So I had to ask, innocently, like, what's there? Is he red? You know, in those days when we used to be in deliverance ministry, when we were praying for your sisters, say, come out, come out, come out. Say, look at my eyes, look at my eyes. Can you see fire? Can you see fire? The guy said, I can't see fire. So when that girl was telling me that, the girl goes to Selem, when she was telling me that, she likes my eyes, I thought it like it may be fire, like something. Say, no. Daddy, let me not use the language she used. In short, I knew I was in trouble. I just told my friend, I'm going home. So, before I lose my salvation. You navigate in the spirit realm with words. You navigate in the spirit realm with words. Words of faith. You have to be very careful. Any word anybody speaks to, you can go straight into your soul. Any word. So you have to be careful. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Let me see if I can tidy this up in 10 minutes. Now, permit me to also inform you that there's a spiritual war going on right now. There's a war going on right now against the forces of light, against darkness. And some of the challenges you are facing in your life now is a byproduct of that war. Are you with me? So whatever you are going through now, it's not peculiar to you. It's because there's a battle, there's a spiritual warfare going on. And Satan prefers you to be ignorant so that he can take your place. He prefers it. Now, look at me. I was using an example with my three brothers here. And one of the things I meant to say is that when I said Spirit Femi is the spirit controller of the three of them, what I meant to say is that you have a spiritual body. Just the way you can see this sister sitting beside you or this brother, you have a spiritual body. Like Tobe, you have a spiritual body covered in light, illumination. The garment of the spirit is light and glory. Not select garment. Not wearing white cassock. You may be wearing white cassock, but in the spirit you are dirty. I said what Adam lost when he sinned against God was he lost the glory of God. That was the covering. That was what made the animals obey him. That was what made him a ruler, because he had the glory of God in his spirit. So you have, everyone listening to me now has a spiritual body. That spiritual body can travel to places. That spiritual body can be summoned into the presence of God. That spiritual body can navigate realms and territories while your body is here. Yes! That is the part of your being that God empowers. And when you are spiritually alive, you can take out of the power locked up in your spirit, transfer it into your body, and you can touch people and they will be healed. Are you still here? So there's a spiritual and a natural body. There's a spiritual and a natural body. That spiritual body is the one that can navigate the spiritual realm. Now, there are many players in the spirit realm. I have here at least 13. At least 13. There are more than that, but at least 13. Number one, you have the Almighty God, Yahweh himself. Now, I will come back in the second service and I will repeat something I said a few weeks ago from Psalm 82. Yahweh. Number two, we have the Son of God. These are the players in the spiritual realm. Number three, we have the Holy Spirit. Number four, we have the 24 elders. Number five, we have the archangels. Number six, we have the seraphims. Number seven, we have the cherubims. Number eight, we have the angels. All right? We have number nine, fallen angels. Now, permit me to say this. Okay, let me read this, then I'll say what I want to say. Number 10, we have demons. Demons are not the same things as fallen angels. Do we agree? Demons didn't always exist. They didn't always exist. There was a time they started existing. after the flood of Noah. All right. Number 11, devils. Now, the word devil, devil is not the name of Satan. Hello, look up. Devil is not the name of Satan. And Satan is not the name of devil. It's just something we use. His name is Lucifer. The word Satan or devil means accuser. That is his ministry. That is what he does. So most times we call people by what they do. Oh, he's a blacksmith. He's a banker. But his real name is what? Lucifer. Because we have different types of devils. We have small devils. Huh? Are we here? There are small devils. Those ones that go up and down. Spirits of fear and all of that. So, but the chief devil is Lucifer. So you need to understand. We have man. Man is a player in the spirit realm. Number 13, we have the blood of Jesus as an entity in the court of heaven. And I'm going to address this again as one of the series. All right. Now, I was going to say this very briefly. Maybe during the course of this series, I'm going to show you some scriptures. There are at least 2 rebellions that happened in heaven. Now, listen to me. What many of us know is that Satan rebelled against God, right? Hello, are you here? Stay with me. Satan rebelled against God and took a third of the angels and God cast him out of heaven. We know that story, right? Are we familiar with that story? But that's not the only time angels rebelled against God. Do we agree? When is the second time? The second time when the angels rebelled against God was when the sons of men saw the daughters of men. The sons of God saw the daughters of men and they came down. It's not the same incidence. Please stay with me. And at some point, I will show you the scripture. They came and slept with men, with human beings, and gave birth to giants. Those giants, in Jewish theology and history, was the beginning of demons. Because they became an anomaly. They are not pure breeds. Fallen angels. Angels left the heavens called Benehi Elohim. They are the sons of God, sons of Elohim. And they came to earth, had sex with human beings, gave birth to giants who were half human beings and half spirits. They were hybrids. So the goal of those spirits was to contaminate mankind. So that because the prophecy that was given in Genesis that the feet of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent will not be fulfilled. Because if Satan corrupts every family, the DNA of every family. Are you with me here? If the serpent corrupts the DNA of every family, God will not be able to bring the Savior through any of them. Come on, are you here? So the reason why God saved Noah was not because Noah was perfect. So Noah drinks beer. Hey, are you here? But his own beer was a smaller sin compared to those who are having sex with demons, with fallen spirits. Please, are you here? Because after the flood, he still drank. He knew where he used to get it. He went back there, got shekwe and oguro, and he drank. But the Bible said he was a righteous man. So you see that sin has level. Are you still here? If what you heard is that you should go and be drinking, that's not what I said. You only heard what you like. I said the reason why God saved Noah and his family was because his family was the only one that was not tainted and stained by the fallen angels, by the giants. So before they will contaminate his family, God isolated him, destroyed everybody. And when God destroyed all of them, those giants became disembodied spirits. They could not go to heaven because that's not where they came from. They could not come to man because now they were dead. So they began to roam about like spirits. That is the origin of demons. Leave it. So there are two times that angels rebelled against God. The first was before Genesis chapter 1, when the angels led by Lucifer campaigned against God and God sent them out. The second time was when these angels saw beautiful women and they became men and slept with them. Now, the book of Peter tells us that this second category, God arrested them and put them in everlasting chains. Those fallen spirits are not roaming the earth now. The Bible says God chained them into the ground in hell. So they are not released. And in fact, Jewish theologians tells us that many of those fallen angels are even more brutal and more wicked than Satan himself. Yes. They were the ones who taught man how to do incantation. They were the ones who taught men how to do charm. Have you ever thought about that your village, that Umofia, Isia Langwa, how that man that didn't go to school, that sits under a shed, will open his mouth and say, and something is moving in the spirit realm. And we didn't have light. We didn't have water. Nothing was happening in our country. But yes, somebody will sit down here. And somebody is here and is throwing incantation and and one car on the express will just have accident. They were taught by spirit. They didn't teach us how to make sure Nigeria always has 24 hours light. But they taught us how to destroy ourselves. Don't ask me where I learned it from. God punish Satan. Ah! It's very terrible that you will see a small child. You are teaching him maths. Under the tree, in front of the house, you say, "Auntie, I don't understand. Auntie, I don't understand. No, this is HCF. This is LCF." You say, "I don't understand." Then somebody next to you explain, "Amokupaye, he won him off," and he will see the boy. He will sing the song from the first stanza to the end, but he doesn't know HCF. He doesn't know HCF. It's the same lie they tell you when they tell you cannot know spiritual things. You cannot know spiritual things. It's only for pastors. Who told you? Daniel was a politician. Daniel was not a pastor. And yet the cherubs will come to him. Michael will come to him. He doesn't go to them. He was so strong spiritually. They came to him. Say, "While you are praying, the Lord dispatch us." Daniel was given the grace. He hacked into somebody's dream. God did not permit any man to be able to read the mind of other people. Daniel hacked into a king's dream. And told the dream, the king, the dream he forgot. What kind of dimension is that? It's only in the spirit realm. And you think you are weak. And the Bible says that the least among us is greater than them. The least amongst us here is greater than them. I say you are better than Daniel. If you take away ignorance from your life and begin to give yourself to the word of God and spiritual discipline, watch your progress in 5 years. Come on, are you here? So there are at least four layers. At least four layers of spiritual and territorial powers. I'm warming up. There's an authority structure. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. My time is up. Oh my God. Let me not go here now. I'll continue second service. Colossians 1:16. "For by him were all things," say all things. There was nothing exempted by God. There was nothing that exists today that doesn't exist without Jesus' permission. He said, "For by him all things were created that are where? In heaven and that are in the earth. Whether they are visible or..." That means there are realities, there are personalities that exist in this realm. You cannot see them with your two eyes. Yes. Have you ever entered into your office and you just sense fear in the atmosphere? Or you sense depression in the atmosphere? The spirits are there, but you sensed it. They are there. Sitting over people's necks. Sitting over their heads. I don't know, I just get a migraine. Hey! It's not migraine. Say whether they are visible or invisible. Now look at the four layers. Whether they be thrones or what? Dominions or what? Principalities or what? Power. All these things were created by him and for him. Jesus is the head of all principalities and power. They cannot meet without his permission. They cannot meet. They cannot meet. I said they cannot meet. And the Bible says, as he was in this world, so are you. If you come to that meeting, Jesus is there. If they call your name, they're asking for trouble. Because that meeting is illegal. The Bible says, for they shall surely gather, but not by my permission. Whosoever shall gather for your sake, shall fall for your sake. That is God's counsel for you. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. You are more than what you have seen. Don't be ignorant. Put that devil to flight. Stop that nonsense going on in your family. Stop that nonsense going on in your family. So all things were created by him and for him. And the Bible says we are joint heirs with him. For him. Satan is still existing for God's purpose. The day God changes his mind, it's over. It's over. That activity of Satan is only still going on in your family because you permit it. Come on, are you here? Now, we're going to continue second service. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. As you pray, I want you to engage your spirit. And I want you to pray out of the depth of your spirit. Pray out of the depth of your spirit. Pray. Don't pray like a carnal man. Pray like a spiritual man.